shalom.
Well, happy Passover, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskaden here, Christian Center Shreveport. We have reached Passover here, 2024, 5784 on the Hebrew calendar, Nisan 14 on the Bible calendar, first month. I want you to hear from a Jewish perspective, from a Jewish rabbi, what Passover means to them, and a wonderful story of the family. Shabbat Shalom.
Pray for peace, Jerusalem, city of our God. Their salvation was poured out for you. The atoning of the Lord. Once your streets were filled with joy, branches raised up high, shouting, blessed
be the Holy One. That's what we believe in today, Yeshua. Jesus, we say, but Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah who came to Israel. Well, welcome. It's Passover Day. It is Tuesday, the 23rd day of April 2024. We're in a moment in time where we're passing over into a new season. Chuck Pierce has told us there's a two-year count, especially for America, this Passover, where God is challenging hearts to see if they'll turn back to Him and come into covenant with Him. Well, I thought I'd do something a little bit different today on this Passover. I usually teach this week, and I probably will the next 2 days. But today, I wanted you to hear the Passover story from a Jewish perspective, from a rabbi in Jerusalem, Rabbi Beryl Wein, who's not a believer in Yeshua, as far as I know. Although, when you listen to him, you wonder. I don't recommend following rabbis because many of them are in the Kabbalah and all sorts of different things, and they're not very kind to Christians. But he's one of the few that I trust as far as it's not a motive of his, I don't believe. But he just tells history, just tells Jewish history. And I think this is really important. If you study the Passover, you need to understand what it means to a family and why they celebrate it every year, and just put the picture of what would it be like for them if they would come into Messiah. What this does for me when I listen to testimonies like this is it gives me a heart to believe for their salvation. I said, Lord, they're so close, and I want them to have everything that you died for. So let's listen to a perspective from a Jewish rabbi and the perspective of the way they view Pesach, as they say, or Passover, here on Nisan 14. All right, listen in.
Now for a special clip, the story of Passover.
Great holiday of Passover is one of the central days in the Jewish calendar. Historically speaking, the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt for centuries. Now the Jewish people came down to Egypt through Joseph. And Joseph, who came down as a slave, sold there by his brothers, eventually rises to become the viceroy of Egypt, and he saves Egypt and the entire Middle East in a tremendous famine so that everybody now can survive. He stored up all the food, and he made Egypt the imperial empire of the time. Joseph dies. The whole generation dies. There arises a new king, in the words of the Bible, who did not know Joseph. The rabbis of the Talmud say it wasn't necessarily a new king. It was a king that purposely forgot Joseph. The Jewish people are very numerous in Egypt. Egypt becomes nervous. Maybe the Jewish people won't be loyal to them, even though as a matter of citizenship, the Jews were more loyal and did more voluntary work than did the Egyptians. Finally, the king enslaves the Jews. And in their enslavement, which lasts centuries, the Jewish people are destroyed almost completely, physically and spiritually. They sink into paganism. Their sons are taken and thrown in the Nile River to be eaten by crocodiles. Their women are taken away from them. And yet, somehow, there is a core of the Jewish people that survives, that remains loyal to the ideas, especially the tribe of Levi, that remains loyal to the ideals of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, and remains monotheistic in the middle of a pagan society. The great Redeemer Moses arrives, himself raised in the Egyptian court, adopted by the princess of Egypt. And he now, under the bidding of the Lord, demands that the Jewish people be freed. There ensues months of negotiations, of plagues, of warnings, of broken promises, until finally, on the night of Passover, the firstborn of the Egyptians are smitten by the angel of death. Pharaoh finally capitulates. "Take them out," he says. "Go." Not all of the Jewish people went. According to the opinion expressed in the Midrash, as many as 80% of the Jewish people stayed and died in Egypt. But however we will understand those numbers, there is an exodus of millions of people. And not only Jews, but other slaves, other ethnic groups that also were enslaved at the moment of freedom went out with the Jews. And they were called the Erev Rav, the mixture of many nations. Eventually, some of them became Jewish, and some of them did not. And the Jewish people are freed from this great, terrible bondage that they suffered. When did this happen? Well, according to Talmudic sources, we would estimate that it happened in about 1312 before the Common Era. And the Jewish people wander in the desert. The story of Passover is not the end of the story, it's the beginning of the story. And here is the great basic Jewish idea, that to be free means that you have to have a purpose. Freedom is not licentiousness. Freedom does not mean that you stand on a street corner all day long and not do anything positive. Freedom has to have a purpose. And the purpose of the Jewish people was to spread the idea of God, of monotheism, of morality, of goodness, of charity throughout the world, in a world that was pretty hostile to those ideas then and seems to be pretty hostile to them even now. In the desert of Sinai, the Jewish people are created as a people. They receive the Torah from Sinai, and they embark on their long journey of education, inspiration, and of attempting to being a light onto the nations of the world. Now, in the desert, the story of the Passover is reenacted, and it's been reenacted for all of these years. I'm not good at math, but I think it's at least 3,321 years, something like that. 3,321 Passovers. The story is retold because the story tells us the value of freedom, the value of purpose, the value of faith, and the value of family. I've often been asked, well, how do we know that it happened? My answer always has been, at our Passover Seder table, when my father, of blessed memory, was alive, my father lived to be 103 years old. He saw five generations in his family. My father also saw his grandfather. So that at our table, there was a span of over 300 years sitting at the table. My father's grandfather and my father's great-great-grandchild, who, God willing, will live well into the 21st century. So we had 300 years at the table. Well, you only have to imagine another 10 tables like that and you're back to Egypt. It's not hard to imagine 10 tables, though it is hard to imagine 3,321 years. And that's why Passover is the family holiday. That's why we all gather together, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our grandparents, to sit together. By sitting together, we testify to our past and to our commitment to the future, to our faith, to the fact that we are an eternal people, and to the fact that freedom always means discipline, service, purpose. That's the exalted idea of freedom. The rabbi said there is no free person except he or she that accepts upon themselves the yoke of morality, of Torah, of goodness, of care for others as well. And it's interesting that the first law regarding Passover mentioned in the Jewish law books is the fact that charity has to be contributed for the poor so that they also can have a Passover and that they can also have a wonderful meal and that they would also have the wherewithal to be able to celebrate their freedom as well. So my friends, I want to wish you all a happy and good and kosher Passover, and I hope that this idea of freedom, which the Jewish people represented in the story of Passover, spreads throughout humanity, throughout mankind, and that we'll all be privileged to be free and to be purposeful and to be faithful to ourselves and to our traditions. My name is Beryl Wine. Thank you for watching.
Now, isn't that a beautiful story? I love the story with his father who lived to be that old, and then he tells the story of them all sitting at that table. That just fascinates me to no end. And to think that 10 tables back, you're at Passover. Well, we are followers of Christ. We follow our Passover lamb. He is the resurrection of the dead, the first resurrection of the dead. He's the first fruits. He's unleavened bread. He's Pentecost. He's all the feast. And when we sit down, as my family did last night, and we did a Passover meal, and we did a Shabbat, we remembered our family. We were thankful that as we sat around a table, that our whole household, and where we are, is serving the Lord. And we are following not a tradition, but a faith that goes back 2,000, 3,000, and even further than that. We go back all the way to Abraham because we're joint heirs of Abraham through Christ Jesus. And we think about this Passover day, and from the time of Moses forward, they were told to celebrate it, so 3,000 plus years. But the meals that we have, the prayers that we have together as a family of God, we're celebrating a truth that is within all of us believers that are listening to this podcast mainly. And we are all sitting around together, talking, praying together of a faith that is old as this earth. And what a great salvation. How can we neglect it? How can we not give everything we have to this faith? And the beauty of it is, it is a song. I teach this, or I give this in my funeral ceremonies. There's one song, and each of us have our own verse of the same song. The song of all songs, which is the Lord and His Passover anointing. And then you live your life and you sing your verse. Every verse is different. The millions of people that have given their life to Christ or prior to Christ followed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and believed that faith have all had a verse. It is the largest and longest song in all the universe because it's the song of the Lamb, the resurrected Lamb, the one who was sacrificed for all of us. So today on Passover, as you learn a little bit about our brothers, our older brother does not know Messiah, don't forget them. Let's remember Israel. Let's remember that they need to come into salvation of Romans chapter 11, that we are nothing without them. They are the root. They are our foundation, and we get grafted into that. And let us not forget the ones we got grafted into. So I wanted you to do that today on this Passover. So Lord, I pray for everybody listening today that we would not forget the heritage of this faith. We pray for the salvation of Israel. We pray for the salvation of our Jewish brothers, our older brothers, that they would come to know you, that you are the Passover, and they would find you by faith today. In the name of Yeshua, we say amen, amen. All right, come back tomorrow. We'll keep talking about Passover this week. Well, thanks for listening today and each and every day here on this podcast. Don't forget, we're in our season of first fruits now as this Passover week starts. If you'll go back to our YouTube or Facebook pages, several weeks ago, did a message on first fruits. You can type that in the YouTube search there, Christian Center Shreveport, first fruits. You can see our message about that. And there's other messages there we've done as well. We're taking up our offering. Seek the Lord if you want to participate with us in this, and you can send it through our app or our website, ChristianCentersReport.com. Ask the Lord for a mountain. So, and then several weeks from now, we're going to pray over everybody's offering, wave it before the Lord, and pray for a blessing on your crop this entire year. All right. Bless you today.